Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And we hope that you're getting ready for Christmas. A lot of things are coming down the pike. This is December 16th. Kind of hard to believe that time's moving this fast as we watch things go on and on here. As you know, tonight, many of you have been sharing with me. In fact, so many. I'm so blessed to hear, as the rest of our folks are on our team, what God's doing in your lives. And with Christmas around the corner, we want to remind you tonight as we begin that God gave the greatest gift ever received on Christmas. God gave his son, Jesus Christ. And the great thing about that is he gave us prayer, which allows us to know him personally. Not just somebody out there, but somebody we personally know inside of our hearts, who we love and commune with, who came from the baby in the cradle to the life that we live until we see him face to face someday. You know, the Bible makes it clear, as you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, in John 3:16. And Jesus said when he was here just a while later in John 14:9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So the God who sent him at Christmas revealed him to us in person, and now he communes with us. How? Through the gift of prayer that you're going to hear more about tonight. And God knows that if we understand what his mission is, that we will realize God is the Father. And perhaps the greatest fact ever, he gives us the ability to commune and talk with and love God. And our one of our favorites in the nation here, especially down in Texas, Pastor Will Hobbs, be with us in just a minute, and Will will share from his heart many, many things. You know, we've got a great team. God has blessed this group of people. They bless me, and I know that they bless you because you tell me so. And I want to tell you again very quickly, if you go to our website anytime, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can scroll down. You'll hear more about it later. And you can read about the folks on the team. You can get a firsthand view of these precious lives and what God's doing through them to help so many countless people. And they bless my life every week, and I know they bless you. Look them up. Pray for them. Communicate with them. Let them know that they're important and they mean something to you. They're right there on the website. On the West Coast, we begin with my good friend, Dr. Paul Hall, over 50 years. You'll find him there in Lompoc, California. He's the number one guy in all of Lompoc, California. We voted him in, and the election's over. So in any event, you want to follow up on Dr. Hall there in Lompoc, California, because he's one in a million, and he'll bless your life for knowing him. Good to see you, Paul.
All good to see you. Thanks.
And we move back across the nation all the way over to Georgia. We come into the Thayers, and that's Steph and Dr. Craig there, and you'll find them there in Dalton, Georgia, and you'll want to look up their website there. It's really something what she does. First of all, starting with Steph, she's a health and wellness coach. She knows what to eat and how to stay healthy, and that we get to have chocolate in December, and that's our favorite month for that. But in any event, you'll also find she has a great ministry dealing and helping and praying for and uplifting and encouraging women to walk with Christ and to trust in the Lord and to know that he's there. Again, accentuating that great thing prayer that God gave us when he started at Christmas with the baby in the manger. And you'll find Stephanie's site there on our website. And it's very simply called right there, Live Life, Live Your Life Out Loud. And you'll find what's going on, and you can be able to scroll along and see different things that she shares and testimonies and different things that God's doing. Find out more about her on our website and find out about her right here on her website, and pray for her. Make her somebody that you pray for each day, and I know that you do. And find out the things that are happening there in Steph's life as she blesses all of us. And she did a great job. She found a great guy, and this man is a great man of God. Her husband, right to her left, and his name is Dr. Craig Thayer. We call him Tank. And Craig is one in a million. He's a trauma surgeon. He's an excellent surgeon. He's an excellent doctor. And I tell you what, God's given him a gift. He's used what he's taught him in medicine to bless countless people, from mission trips to many different things this way. And I won't take all the time tonight to tell you all the things I'd like to. You have to look some of those things up on the website. And also, I want you to know that his first book is out. It's also on the website, and it's called Saved. And you'll find it, Finding God, where? In the ordinary things of life. That's where God works in our lives. It's a trauma surgeon's account of the miracles of his life. And you know what? All of us have miracles in our life if you're talking to God and listening to what Christ says and walking in the steps he's prepared, as we see in Ephesians 2. God's always working in our lives. Get a copy of Saved there. Read about it there on our website, and to make sure you have a copy. Oh, yes, and right above it, my book, Legitimate Faith, produces what? Authentic hope. What kind of a hope is that? That's a hope that you find working, elevating, raising your expectations, empowering you in life. Zig Ziglar was the one who had me write that book, my mentor, one of them, and I hope that you'll get a copy. It's in there also. So what we'd like to do tonight, they're also moving from the East Coast, actually the South part of the East Coast, but you know how that all works. Look it up on the map there. From Dalton, Georgia, all the way back to Texas, McKinney, Texas, once again. And that's where you'll find one of our favorite men in the world, and that's Pastor Ron Greer. He's in McKinney, and he is with Man in the Mirror. Ron is a man who follows as God leads him. He's a man who helps men, godly men. You'll find out about what he does as an area director there in McKinney, Texas, and read about how God uses Ron so many things in his life in preparing him. He's another example of how God has things that are planned for your life, but you may not quite be ready for it yet. But he takes those things he prepares you in and places you in the call that he has prepared just for you. Ron's a great man. That's something we want to share as we open the show tonight. We want to take just a sidestep, a kind of an alert that's come in. We all have been praying for the people there, the precious folks there in Madison, Wisconsin, at the Christian school, and the tragedy that has hit there. Ron knows these people. They are his friends. They helped him when he ran for Congress. I believe he has a son who went to school there. So we'd like Ron to say a quick word, and then also just join with us so that we can all pray as we've been for these lives, for God's presence. Ron?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Appreciate you guys. Yeah, it is one of those unimaginable tragedies that take place. It catches you right off guard, especially this time of year. It's got to be a hard and difficult thing. And the people who I've been in contact with exemplify that hurt and pain, those who are closely a part of the school and those who are associated with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our relationship goes back to 1981, 82, somewhere in there. They're a small church that grew and grew into a school, started about 1978. But great folks, great heart for the Lord, have been a force there in Madison for decades. So they have, and our son was a student there. I did some work there at the school and volunteering there, and got to know the staff. So it kind of hits home this morning, especially. So I got the notice and was kind of blown away by it. But you hate to start your day off with something like that. But anyway, it doesn't matter when it comes. But we do know that when it does come, that our first and foremost response and answer is to run to the Lord. Someone who can understand. We read it. We're reminded of the verse in John. It says Jesus wept, and why did he wept? Because of the loss of his friend. And So he wept. So he understands hurt. He understands grieving. He understands the whole idea of feeling compassion, and understand suffering, all of it much better than we can. So it is a rational and logical and most advantageous thing for us is to go to him, someone who understands, who can actually give us a sense of his presence, and in that presence comfort us and give us some assurance, so that we don't listen to the world's lies and screams about things are hopeless. Even in the tragedies, even in a tragedy, God always, always speaks to us.
That's right. That's right, brother. Yeah. Amen.
So if you would, I'd like to pray for the folk there and the folks around the country. God, we are again reminded of your great love for us, even in the midst of this dark and tragic situation, that even though the evil one has raised his head, we are reminded again that you are still Lord, you're still sovereign over this entire world. We also know, Lord, that you care deeply for the families who are affected by this tragedy, because you alone can identify. You wept, you hurt, you grieved. Lord, you experienced loss of your family and friends. You also, Lord, felt compassion on both those who had lost, but also the others around you, all of us. So much so, Lord, that you suffered and died for us. So we pray, Lord, that in this time that you would be powerfully present in the lives of those families involved at the school and those connected with it, in that your presence, Lord, would give them assurance that this is not the end of life. It is not the end of all, Lord, that you are still in control, that they don't have to give up. They don't have to throw their hands up and don't have to run through life, through the day or through the rest of their lives, hopeless, that you are a God who hears, you sees, you understand. So we pray that you would give them that fresh new understanding, that fresh new sense, that Lord, that fresh new vision of who you are and what you are to them. In the end, you will be glorified even through this, and that your name would be great, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ron. Amen. Let's all continue to pray. And as we think about that, lifting them in prayer and think about Christmas again, like Ron was saying, we're excited to have with us Pastor Will Hobbs today from Kelview Heights Baptist Church. And he's got some great things to say. And he had a great thing he shared today with me. Will, tell us a little bit about this. He's the pastor for families there, young families at Kelview Heights Baptist in Oil Country there in Midland, Texas. There's Lauren and his two precious daughters. And he is a very special man in my life, and worked with me in ministry, and he is a blessing. So, Will, welcome tonight, and thanks for sharing with us, and feel free to just pass it around any way you want to run the place. Thanks, Will.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to be with you guys again. You know, last time Ron had some great comments, Dr. Craig and Stephanie had some great comments, Joe, you had some things to say at the end that was helpful when we were talking about prayer. By the way, a big thank you, Ron, for opening us in prayer. That's You know, it's timely, and we need to pray about these things. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't stop and pray enough. Sometimes we just say in passing to someone, oh, I'll pray for you, but we don't stop and pray enough. And so that's what Dr. Paul Hall was talking about last time when we were in prayer at the very end. But then, of course, Joe, we ran out of time. And Paul brought up some great points. And so, you know, he mentioned, you know, how there would be no Pentecost. Pentecost was a major success for the church, right? He said there would be no Pentecost without Gethsemane. Gethsemane, if you don't know, was the Garden of Gethsemane right before Jesus goes to the cross. And as a man, he's facing this temptation not to do that because he knows the amount of pain and separation from his father that he's going to feel. And so he's praying in that moment. He's praying intent and intensely both. And so Paul, I think you hit the nail on the head last time, and I want to feel free if you'd like to pick up where you were when you said there is no Pentecost without Gethsemane. There are no hilltop experiences in Christianity without. And I think that was a great point to bring into the conversation regarding prayer, especially without these things that we have to endure. And it's much like what Ron was just talking about with the school and everything. You know, Paul, I do have more to talk about, but I didn't know if you wanted to
No,
continue in
please.
that
We'll
vein.
pursue it. Yeah,
Yeah.
just feel free and we'll jump in. Thanks.
Yeah, there's a passage in Ecclesiastes 5, and it's verses, I think it's the first several verses. Let me look this one up. I got it right here. Ecclesiastes 5, it's 1 through 3. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 3. Of course, that's Old Testament. For those of you listening who may not know, and it's a great book. It sounds depressing, but again, what did we just say? There are no mountaintop experiences without valley experiences. And so it sounds depressing, but really it is the end of what we believe. It's the end of a king's life of three major works that he wrote. One about his pursuit of honeymoon with and love life with his first bride when he was doing things correctly. Biblically. The next one, a book of Proverbs, not all from him, but mostly from him and put together in a very amazing way. And was one of the wisest men that ever lived. And then the third one we think was Ecclesiastes. And it was written at the end of his life because he's seen it all, he's done it all, he's bought everything money can buy. He's done it the wrong way now. He's left his first wife, or added to her, rather, other wives. And God said, don't do that. And he did it. And so the experience was not good. So just because someone does something in a Bible story does not make it what God told the guy to do. He did not tell Solomon to do that. So he writes Ecclesiastes. He comes to this passage in chapter 5. And he says, first of all, he says, look, the only thing in life that matters is God. You can buy anything you want to buy, and it will leave you empty. You can do everything there is to do, and it will leave you empty. All is vanity. He says that several times. And you think, man, what a depressing book. But no, he's talking about the valley experiences, which led him to the mountaintop experiences. So one of the things he says in chapter 5, Ecclesiastes 5, I'm paraphrasing here. He says, look, when you go to enter the house of God, now back then it was the temple. At a certain point before that, it would have been the traveling tabernacle. If you fast forward in Jewish history, it would have been the synagogue. The synagogue arose from Jewish history out of their Babylonian exile when Babylon captured them. That's really when you saw the synagogue tradition as it stands today begin to form and take form. And so, synagogue, you could say synagogue, you could say temple, you could say tabernacle. In today's terms, you could say church. He says, look, when you approach the temple of God, he said, you do it without speaking, without a lot of words. It's not about your words, it's about God's words. And you do it to listen rather than to speak. Because prayer, like Paul had mentioned last time, prayer is not us getting God to do what we want him to do. Prayer is us tuning ourselves to God's heart. And that was a great point. And I think that's Solomon's point in Ecclesiastes 5. He says, you need to be quick to listen more than you are to speak when you come to God in prayer. And you know what, Ron and all of y'all, we're seeing what just happened with this Christian school. And that is a great illustration, a terrible event, but providing us with a perfect fitting illustration of valley experience. And I take that pain to God. Directly into his presence. I can do that by myself. If you're listening, you should pray to God by yourself. You can do it right now. But he also calls us to pray together as a church or temple or whatever you would call it. So, but as a church, Christian community gathering, that you do that. And that's important. And so I think one of the things what happened at the school can lead us to do is to take that pain to God. And then just sit there and spend time with him and listen and listen more than we talk, because that's when you really learn. One of the roughest parts in my life, it does not compare with very much with what just happened in severity, but it's very similar in principle. And that is the roughest part of my life by far, emotionally. It was almost 2 years. It was well over a year of just hell on earth emotionally, quite honestly. And I would go home, get off work. I would get to my apartment and a great roommate. And I tell him, hey, I can talk to you in a in a little bit. I would shut the door, and he understood. I would shut the door to my room. I'd get on the floor, and it was me and, maybe some water sitting on the floor with my Bible. Sometimes it was open, sometimes it was not. I was always praying, whether it was open or not. I was always praying, crying, angry, hurt, pain. I mean, all those emotions that come into your mind, and just continuing to bring that to him. And, on day two, it wasn't any better. But on week two, it was maybe almost, it wasn't quite there yet. Month two, he was beginning to heal that wound. By year two, he had healed that wound completely. It's never that the memory doesn't, you lose it. Yeah, I didn't lose a kid. You lose a kid or something like that. You don't ever forget that. You don't ever move on from that. But God can heal that. God can heal that wound. And so that wound never became a scar for me because I did that. Ecclesiastes 5, bring it to God. And just, you don't have to bring him a lot of words. There were days, and I would spend in my apartment floor an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours was not uncommon. And all I was bringing him sometimes there were words and thoughts put together and strung together. Sometimes they were just moans and groans with tears because that's all I had that day. And wow, I mean, you talk about God's ability to heal it and lead me. It's second to none.
Amen.
What have you guys thought during this whole, I mean, this could be surrounding the Christian school. We certainly don't have to talk about that. If you have another situation that has led you to, okay, I need to pray, or it was with someone else even. I need to go. Paul talked last time about being an intercessor for someone, stepping up for someone else and praying for them. It could even be that.
How many times?
I found. I'm sorry, Tank. Go ahead.
I'll be quick. How many times?
Tank, we got you.
Do we use God as a Coke machine? We sit down on our knees. We put a quarter in the slot, and we say, "Okay, give me a job, or save my family member, or some request, right?
Fix my marriage."
All out of the bottom, and we're all good. Ding. Yeah, no, that's not God.
Yeah.
It's a Coke machine.
Yeah, that's right.
I found a couple of quotes from a lady named Elizabeth Elliot. You might be aware of who she is, but she said, and along with what Will had to say, she said, "This is where faith begins, in the wilderness, when you're alone and afraid and when things don't make sense." And I think for anyone who's serious in their walk with Christ, we know a lot about the wilderness because we've all spent time there. And sometimes when the answer isn't there, I think it's a good question, where is your faith? Because too early on in too many believers' lives, when it doesn't work, they just give up, or they're good maybe at saying grace at the Thanksgiving table, as if that covers everything. And Tink, what you said about the vending machine, the Coke machine, Elizabeth had another quote. She said, "If your prayers don't get answered the way that you think they should be, what happens to your faith? The world says God doesn't love you, but the scriptures say something very different." Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy for us to get wrapped up in the failure of the things. One other thing, and I hope we address this a little bit. I believe that prayer is really can be a violent thing. The scriptures say in 2 Corinthians that for the weapons of the war that we are fighting are not of this world, but are powered by God and effective at tearing down strongholds that have been erected against his truth. And I majored in history in college, and I don't recall ever a time when there was a stronghold in the opposing army just sat there and expected something to happen. They had to get active, and everything had to come together, and everybody had to do their part. And prayer being a violent thing, I think I mentioned the last time we were together, the thing I found that prayer isn't really difficult to understand. It's just hard to do. it is. And hanging in when everything's falling apart, that's a real tough thing. Will, my heart resonates with what you're saying about sitting in the floor and just wondering, or being silent. Give a real quick illustration, then I'll let it go. I was told somewhere, and I tried this one time and it worked, that if a piano and a guitar are tuned to the same frequency, that when you hit an E string on the piano, the E note on the piano, the E string on the guitar vibrates because it's tuned to the same frequency. Mm. And we ask God to show us something, give us a sign. How many times Jesus was asking, give us a sign, give us a sign. And Jesus said, well, you don't see us right in front of you. How difficult is this? And it's just a matter of looking for those signs and being on the frequency of the Holy Spirit, because there are a lot of times, I don't know what to say. I throw it up there. But I have the promise in the book of Romans that the Holy Spirit takes it, intercedes, and brings it before the Father in words too beautiful to understand. So as I don't Romans have to come 8. Up with the right words. I've just got to have the right attitude. I'd like to think my life vibrates with that frequency, but you got to tune it, you know. Yeah, and you think it'll break sometimes when you're tuning it, but it'll work. It works. So I just want to throw those things out.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, let me piggyback on your illustration about going to battle praying. You know, the other thing that in the military you learn about when you're combat training is that not only do you put together a plan and a strategy, and then you're committed now to executing the strategy, right? Mm-hmm. But in the executing the strategy, one thing has to take place in your mind. You'd be willing to die in order to be successful, in hopes of successful. Because in any troop, any squad, any group army, if you are not willing to pay the cost, chances are when the battle gets hard in the midst of it, you're going to hesitate, you're going to back up, or you're just going to run. So I think that's one of the things that God, I know one of the things God taught me early on, was that, you know, let your prayers be sincere. And then as you do, open your hands and walk forward. Because, you know, I pray when I was learning to pray fervently to the Lord, you know, I have this religious, spiritual, you know, sort of idea, mindset about I'm going to pray and I'll pray fervently and God's going to answer. Right. And then I would, like you did, said, Tank, then I'm waiting for, okay, he's going to answer. And then you get to a point where God gives you something, and without a doubt in your mind, you know it's from the Lord, but you go, that's not what I was talking about. That.
That's what I'm saying.
There, you remold the clay to the I see it. Okay.
Right. And when God, I saw what God was teaching me was, yes, you pray and depend on me, but your prayer and your act of praying and trusting is designed to hone you and to make you what I want you to be.
Amen.
You praying has nothing, it's not benefiting me. It's for me to shape you. So as you pray, be willing to pray with your hands open and your face to the ground, and then accept what it is I do in the process. Yeah. And I think that transformed the whole thing. It's like, okay, I'm going to pray, let your will be done. Now, there are things I'm going to ask for if it be your will, Lord. But if not, okay, then give me the strength and give me the vision to understand and see you moving and where I'm supposed to move from there. And then the other part of my prayer is help me to accept what your decision is. Because there, I'm telling you, there's been some times over the years I go, hold up. What? I missed something here. I was praying for patience, not to be attacked.
Yeah.
one last story. So back during that sort of 2.5 year, just horrible time with us in Madison. I mean, it was 2.5 dark years. It really was. I mean, even thinking back now, it just really was. And a friend of mine once asked me after an interview, he says, so tell me, so, you know, how do you deal with this? And what do you feel? What does it feel like? I said, well, I don't know how I'm dealing with it. I keep every day hearing the Lord say, trust me, you got to trust me. And I keep walking, because it was like I was in a raft on the Snake River, going down with these giant cliffs and walls on the side, no shore. I had no oar, no paddle, nothing to guide this thing with. And all I could do was hold on to the ropes of the raft and go with it. And all I heard God was saying, just trust me. Now, I couldn't see past any direction, couldn't see where it's going to end up. But I had to get to a point where, Lord, you know what? Whatever you do in the process, whether we're on the street, whether you change this thing or whatever it is, help me to accept what it is you do. Now, mind you, nobody, and even us, could ever imagine where God would have taken us in the process. But the one thing the thought that kept coming to our minds, and what everybody kept trying to tell us, listen, you're going to lose everything if you keep holding on to this. And all we could do is say, well, listen, we are sure what God has said. We are certain that He's called us to say it. And if it costs everything, then we'll do that. And we said, Lord, we'll trust you with it. Now, again, never would have could have calculated, imagined where we'd be right now, because it didn't fit anybody's algorithm at all. But God says, I want you to trust me. And as you're praying, okay, I hear you, but you got to be willing to die. You've got to be let something die there in order for you to move to where I want you to be. And that's our biggest problem. I think we want God to bless us in our context and according to what we want, as opposed to saying, Lord, whatever you want.
That's right.
Right. You stole my analogy, kind of, Ron.
Sorry.
But one of the things I say is, God wants us in the deep water. If that's freezing cold in the middle of the night with huge wakes and not building puny castles on the beach. But the analogy is, so imagine yourself in the middle of an ocean in the dark. You don't know what's in the water. Huge, you're up and down. If you ever surfed, you drop as you come over a wave. And you have no control. You have to submit. That's easy, right? I mean, it's scary, but when you do submit, then there's peace. But you imagine you gave someone a float. Now they think they've got a little bit of control, and it's not as easy to submit anymore, right? And you're not going to do God's will, or you might not. The more that you're given that you can have control over, the less God's will for you is going to be obeyed, right? So,
That's right.
You're gonna try to paddle out of it and not have to face it.
and then to support you, Paul, Ephesians 6, the violence of prayer, the battle, the demons that are floating around that we don't see, that want to, like a lion, attack us. God gave us armor. I mean, you don't get football gear on to sit on the bench. You get football gear on to go out and play or fight, and armor and helmet, salvation, the sword of truth, the word. I mean, it's the only offensive weapon that you have, and breastplate, et cetera. It's a war, and it's defined in Ephesians 6.
Paul, when you shared the last time that Will was on, and you got really animated. You're so just so calm, and I took away like it is war. It really stuck with me what you said about it is war. And I've actually been repeating that in different groups that I am in. And there's ladies, I don't know what happens, but once a week, my house has become a revolving door. I have women coming in. I have no idea who they are. They just show up at the house.
I hide in this
He
room.
does hide. And it has become this amazing place for the Lord to be. And most of the time we spend in prayer. And I have not really had a lot of groups like that. And we have a hot seat. Sometimes one specific person needs it, other times it's general. And one of my favorite things that has come of that is we will ask, because everybody has their specific needs, right? The Lord knows our requests. He cares more about that situation than we do. But one thing we've started asking is, what do you want me to know, Lord, about this situation, right? Trying to have that submissive, because we know our desire, but we have no idea all that is going on, right? He sees so much more. And even just to sit quietly and to sometimes hear a word, a scripture, something, and call it out. And you know what? It sounds really silly and it feels weird sometimes. And then another girl will go, I got the same exact thing. And we're like, what? God will give you little confirmations.
Yeah,
And I don't know if any of you have ever done that, but you'll say something silly like orange. The Lord told me to tell you orange. I don't know. And they're like, orange? You said orange, and I think that comes back. That meant something to them, right? But it comes back to us spending time with the Lord. And that is in prayer, that is in worship, and that is getting in the Word. You have to do those things. And He isn't a Coke machine. It's not always a yes. And I don't know about you, but Garth Brooks has that song, Unanswered Prayers. And there's a lot of things I've prayed for. I am so glad He did not give me. It
Praise
would
God,
not
yes.
have worked out.
Praise God, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, prayer is a crock pot, not a microwave. I think that fits with the Coke machine analogy too.
Yeah.
In the crock pot, it takes time for this stuff to develop and you get direction, and it's not the snap of a fingers always. I mean, sometimes
Yes,
they'll
yes.
immediately tell you, go do this right now, but I mean, typically it's still a small voice
Well,
and it takes time.
yeah.
It's interesting that I use the vending machine, right? Because they still exist today. Those are the parables in the Bible, right? How do you tell a story 2,000 years old that still makes sense today? Bible's beautiful. But
Yes.
the vending machine is very close. Because, I mean, how many times is just the image I got in my head was imagine you put your quarter in and you see what you need and it falls and it hangs up. How many times has that happened? Give it to me. It's right there. It's supposed to fall.
Nope.
Shake the vending machines, there are so many dimensions to that. I
it.
think I was coming out of Walmart a few 2 3 months ago, and I saw this guy drop money into the machine, Coke machine, punch the button, and walk away. And I wanted him to get his Coke, so
I've
I took
never
it out
seen
of the
that.
machine. I took it out of the machine. I said, "Excuse me, excuse me." And he turned around and I said, "You didn't get your Coke." And he said, "Oh, no, that's for you. God bless." And I should have told him Dr. Pepper's better, but you
Right.
thank you, brother, for those kind of
Can I have
things.
a Dr.
Coke
Pepper?
guy, but
I had a pastor friend that told me one time. He says, "Paul, when you pray," he says, "the best advice I can give you is to keep your head down, your hands up, and your mouth shut." And I thought, boy, there's wisdom in that, isn't there? I mean, head down,
Amen.
hands up, and mouth shut. God will speak. He will. And Steph, amen to what you said. My heart comes alongside because what we may think is just, it makes no sense whatsoever, is exactly what somebody's heart's been waiting for, some confirmation, and you're the vessel, or other people are the vessels, and
Right.
that's a great thing. Understand it? No. Trust it? Yeah. God's a good God,
Very
and he
good.
has our best in mind.
Wow.
Good illustrations.
There you
That's what
go, Will.
that's
We're with
Yeah,
you.
I
We
think
all
one of
like prayer.
it's absolutely necessary. I think one of the things the Holy Spirit does when you have that mentality, not the vending machine mentality, but the this is not a fast food drive-through, this is a crock,
That's it.
is that if you invest the time and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit directing you in your prayer life, then he well, first of all, let's say you make a prayer list and you have, 2, 5, 12 things on it, however many you things you have on it, that's okay. That's okay to take that prayer list and bring that to God. I mean, God wants to hear about those things. But like you guys are all saying, you're exactly right. It's ultimately that list needs to be editable by him. My attitude in bringing him that list should always be, okay, these are the things that are on my mind, my heart, but what do you want my list to look like? Is there something you don't want on here? Stop praying about that. And God's occasionally told me that, not very often, but he sometimes stop praying about that. Maybe he has someone else praying about it. I'm not saying he's done with that situation or that person. I don't think that's necessarily the case at all. wants somebody else to pick it up, whatever. Sometimes he'll put something on the list that wasn't on there that I had never thought of. Sometimes he'll take something that's on the list and change it. I'm praying this about this, and he'll just totally change. So the list needs to be editable by God. God is the master. You know, when you send a PDF and it's locked, this PDF, I don't know the other computer terminology. It's not locked. The whole group can really, but ultimately God has ultimate authority to say, nope, take that, add that, and change that one. And when you give him that time, the Holy Spirit, to direct you, he not only makes us unified together as believers on the same page, praying the same thing. You know, because Paul, last time you mentioned, what if one believer is a good question, and it's kind of funny but sad. What if one believer is praying one thing for God, you know, like let's say bring rain, and the another believer is saying, don't make it rain. You know, my son has a baseball game tomorrow. I have a baseball game tomorrow. Don't, I want to go golfing tomorrow. Don't rain. Well, is God the cosmic genie of both of those people? And so now he's confused as to what he should do the next day. You know, so yeah, it
Oh,
not only
just the
the Holy
spiritual
Spirit can
ones.
bring
That's
us you,
just the
but
spiritual guy gets his. The spiritual guy gets his.
yeah, the more spirit, the one with the lower golf score gets his. The Holy
I'm
Spirit not
sorry.
only brings us together in unity, together on the same page. Stephanie, when you're talking about the girls praying, the Holy Spirit, that's what he does. He doesn't bring lack of unity or division. He brings unity. He's
That's
putting you
right.
all on the same page, showing you things and teaching you things together, not together meaning you're sitting in the same room, together meaning unity, together. And he's at the same time, he's bringing you into unity to his heartbeat. We're never perfectly there, more and more over time, to pray, okay, this is what I want to do in this situation. And you know, when I'm in the hospital and I always pray with the person before I leave. I might be there for 2 minutes and I might be there for 20 minutes. You know, it just depends on the situation and what's going on. And if the nurses are needing to come in and out, and you know, all the doctors know the nurses run the hospital really anyway. So as the nurses are doing their thing, coming in, right, Tank, that's true, right? The doctor, you need the doctor, Tank, but
Yeah,
the
but the nurse
nurses
has to
kind
be
of,
blue.
they're running the
Right.
show. That's pretty true. So I'll be in the room and I'll, before I leave, I always pray with them. And you know, I don't know, Dr. Tank, if you've ever had these thoughts as well as a believer, but I always want to take this situation and this person to God in prayer. But I don't always know. I'm not saying God doesn't ever want to heal someone, but I'm also not saying God immediately wants to snap his fingers and they are immediately healed and get up and walk out either.
Right.
There's both and there's everywhere in between. And so I take them to God in prayer and I may wait for a moment. If I don't know what to pray, I'm not gonna, you know, go launching off on 10 things. At least that's not me. I always ask God to show his love in the situation, not to let the enemy use the situation to lead people away from him. There are times where I feel like God has led me to pray for healing for that person. There are times when I feel like he's not, and I could be taking that time and energy to pray for the healing of the family, which is what we need to be investing time in. But if we're not listening to God and we go, nope, heal him, leave him here with me, I'm going to miss him too much, heal him, heal him, heal him, and God's not going to do that, and he's going to bring him home, well, eternally heal him, bring him home with him, I missed the opportunity to pray for comfort for the family. So, you know, one time I was in a room and we didn't pray for healing because we knew, I don't know why, God's just going to take her home. And he did. And we started singing a song. I think somebody brought up a hymn that they liked. So we just, all four or five of us started singing this hymn, and yeah. I mean, the guy, when he sees me, he still kind of tears up sometimes, and I get it because we were all there, and when his wife died, and we knew that was her time to go be with the Lord. We did not pray for God, you know, bring her back, get her out of this bed. It's not what we asked him for.
Boy, we
You
sure
have
tell some
the
stories with you on that one, huh, guys. Yeah, my goodness, exactly.
Oh,
Well, I think that you said that really well. Amen.
there was a moment, a patient dying from breast cancer, older lady. She had
Yeah.
a bed sore, and I would come as the surgeon to debride it when she was in the hospital. Then she went home. I was on vacation, so I permanently borrowed some stuff from the hospital to go visit her at the house. And she asked, this is clearly not my brain. She asked me, when am I going to die? And I said,
Wow.
when you're ready. I mean, that's between you and God. So
Yeah.
it's like, yeah, I thought there's no way I could have even thought of that answer. It just came to me. But you're right. There's moments that you're on the right frequency and you get the right words. And
That's right.
can I
That's right.
offer another aspect of this praying thing, right?
We got 3 minutes. Ron, go
Oh, sorry.
ahead.
Okay.
If you could, no, take it, bro. Three
Oh,
minutes,
gracious.
run it to
You have to
work.
preach in 3 minutes. Who does that? Anyway.
And it's hard. You got to put on
So
78. Go ahead.
one of the
Got to
convictions I
watch the
had.
time. Now that we're in New York, I got to watch
Okay,
the
oh, that's right. But
time.
here's one of the convictions I had early on as well, right? I had a time set aside for praying. I had my prayer room in the house, and everybody know you can't interrupt Dad. I had my list there, and God kept interrupting my list, like you mentioned, right? Look, I got these things that I'll pray for, and He kept taking me off on these tangents. Either I'm ADD as I was, or is it something God's doing? So I had that struggle. But one of the things I've convicted of is that, why are you just spending this time praying for me and then going the rest of your day? I would that men pray always, right? Stuck in my head. So I did then and I do now. I go throughout the day, all day, numerous times a day, praying. And
That's
there are
good.
some people who think you're a little weird,
No,
but I do. I
that's good.
it's like I we had this thing once we started this thing of practicing the presence of God wherever you are. And I actually start doing that, you know. And
That's
there are
good.
times, my wife would tell you just a few days ago, I was deeply convicted, and she was a Holy Spirit helper, because I did something in the car driving, and it was not in the context of God's presence in my car.
He said that
So again, so it's one of those things where, again, I think we need to have those devoted times when we're praying, and we look at Jesus' life and Paul's life, right? We see the times when they had committed time alone with the Lord, and then there were
Yes.
times doing experiencing situations where they
You.
spoke a word or they prayed to the Lord. I think
Amen.
we should practice both.
Yeah.
Amen, Ron. That's good. It commit gives times like Charles Stanley on your face on the floor, and there's times. Man, that's the beauty, like I was saying, God just talks to us. I'm getting old and I think, gee, I'm talking to myself now. I'm really not. I'm talking to him. That's not an excuse. That's not an excuse, Tank, wherever you are. No, but no, I really am. And I'll be driving down the road like you're saying, and I'll just, my Lord, what do you think of that? Good grief.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I never
The
thought
people
of that.
staring at you in the other car, like,
Yeah,
who's
really.
looking at you?
I haven't had that one yet, but
I'm on
I
the
really
phone. I'm just on the
want
phone.
to. But ladies and gentlemen, God's always there for you. But we're
Amen.
just a moment here. We have to watch our time now that I don't know if you know, but we're in so many places now with this program that we have to watch the clock, make sure that we're off time for this to be shown in many, many different states. We do want to say very quickly, if Stephanie can take a moment, it's Christmas, and as we look at these things, we sure could use your help. I mean, we just trust God to meet the financial needs, and I'm not going to go into all that with you, but Steph would have a word. We could use your help and in doing this. And Steph, share a word for us, would you, about our website and share stuff.
Sure. We always love for you to connect with us and find out everything that's going on. And you can go on our website to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And it does take money to make things run. And we appreciate it here, just like many other places do. It is end of year. And so if you are at that end of year giving and there's a place and you're not sure where, we would love to encourage you. Pray about it. See if you can contribute here. We would love and appreciate that. And at the top of the website, there's a fancy QR code that you can link to. There's a PayPal link. You can even contact Pastor Joe if you want to do it the old snail mail way. We have a lot of people that want to do that, and that's perfectly fine. It's all good. We take it in whatever way you want to give it. And when you are on the website, you can see the different prior episodes that we have. It lists the guests that we have. And when you continue to scroll down, you can learn about each of us as co-hosts. There's ways to connect with us there. So we just thank you for being a part. of, especially this year. I mean, we've been going on a while now, but this is the last live episode we have for the year. And we just love that you take the time to come and gather with us and also share it with others. If there are those that you think will be blessed by the program, that's also a really wonderful, cost-free thing that you can do to help us. And we appreciate that.
Amen. Yeah, simple Q code. It's right there, as she said. And again, there's no gift if whatever the Lord lays your hand, too small or too large, whatever. We sure will use it going into some things we're looking forward to bringing to you this coming year. It will be new and exciting, added to what we're doing. And we're excited to share those things with you. And we're excited to let you know tonight that Will Hobbs is officially in our sight, and we didn't tell him this yet, but he's part of the Raising Expectations family, and we did talk about it. So you're going to get to see Will, and you're going to get to hear about him and his family and different things a lot more as we take turns with key people on our program coming in, and Will will definitely be part of there. I've got one thing I want to say at the very end in 1 minute. So guys, we got 2 minutes, and Will, you can. I'm going to pitch this to you and anybody who has something because we're on a clock now for some new shows that are going that were being put out on.
Okay, I've got a poem. Are you ready?
Crickets.
Here we go for Christmas, the Knots Prayer. This is called the Knots Prayer. And it says, Dear God, please untie the knots that are in my mind, my heart, and my life, and remove the have-nots and the can-nots and the do-nots that I have in my mind, and erase all the will-nots and the may-nots and the might-nots and the may-find a home in my heart as well, and release me from the could nots, the would nots, the should nots, and the that obstruct my life. And most of all, dear God, I ask that you remove from my mind, my heart, and my life all the am nots that I have allowed to hold me back, especially the thought that I am not good enough. You know, bless y'all for Christmas and God be with you. I'm sure he is. Thanks for blessing my life. Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful celebration. And let's remember what the season is all about. Okay.
Amen. 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 Anybody got, we got a little time. Anybody want to share their take?
It's just good to see someone young that's turning gray like me. So thanks, Will.
Trying to
you
catch up.
Proud.
Yeah,
you make me proud.
We got Ron has hair. He just likes to shave it, right?
Yeah.
Ron?
I don't. I don't want to boast, you know, and you know,
yeah.
Be vain.
It's
so.
Like a thread count. He doesn't want too many gray hair on his face.
Gray hair or no hair is a prerequisite to be on the show. You got to have one of both.
I think so.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, again, thanks so much for being with us. We're expanding thanks to the great guys at BBS Radio, our engineer TJ and the owners there, our family. We're family, they're friends. We're reaching everywhere all over. We're actually being heard from the Empire State Building in New York City. There's great things going on. Just want to remind you one thing. This was about prayer tonight because prayer followed the one who was born, who was God's gift to us at Christmas, the greatest gift that the world has ever known when Jesus died. So remember this. As they've shared tonight, if you can, in the midst of your troubled situations, whatever they might be, in the midst of your joy, in the midst of any depressions, in the midst of worries, just remember this. Reach down, take that little baby out of the manger, and make sure you pray that little baby into your heart so that you are born again when he lives alive in your life. You'll just never be the same. You'll talk to yourself while you drive. There's all kinds of things. God's going to do great things in your life. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We count it a blessing and a privilege and a pleasure to be with you. God bless you. Merry Christmas. On behalf of everybody, see you next year. We'll be back next week, but we'll see you again, especially next year.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.